The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Saturday, November 22, 2014.
Dear friends, during a special service last night, and again this morning as our worship began, we acknowledged our communal pain at the tragedy this week in Jerusalem. What can one say at such a horror? This latest attack by Arab residents of Jerusalem against their Jewish neighbors. How does a government protect its people against extremists who have so little regard for their own lives, they willingly sacrifice them to commit murder in God's name? Indeed, what makes this wave of violence especially frightening are its fundamentalist religious overtones. It remains unclear the degree to which the violence represents an organized intifada. One might believe that political revolts can be quelled through political processes. Religious uprisings, which protest the very existence of other faith communities, are infinitely more complicated to address. What feels different in the last couple of months in Jerusalem is the intimacy of the terror, wrote Yossi Klein Halevi. There's nothing impersonal about this. This isn't a suicide bomber strapping dynamite on his torso and blowing himself up on a crowded bus, or Hamas firing rockets into a population center. This is a war of neighbors, he said, and the religious dimension makes it even more horrifying. We have come to learn that the four murdered at prayer were all revered scholars in their community. Rabbi Avraham Goldberg, Rabbi Kalman Levine, Aryeh Kopinski, and Rabbi Moshe Tursky, and that the brave police officer who died apprehending their killers was not Jewish, but Druze. In some Jewish communities, one of the ways scholars are memorialized is through communal study. So let our study this morning be in their memory and in memory of Officer Zidane Saif. As I come down to be a little bit closer to you for our study, you should also feel comfortable coming a little closer to me. This week's parasha is Toldot, which is a portion rich in detail about the struggles of Jacob and Esau and their competition for their parents' love and their father's blessing. But that's not what I want to look at this morning. Instead, I want to focus on an often overlooked chapter. In Genesis 26, we receive the only picture we ever get of Isaac as an active player in the story of our people. We know him as the son nearly slaughtered by his father in the Akedah, and we know him as the blind old man. But here, in this chapter, we see him as a vital and vibrant figure. So on your handout, please take a look at Genesis 26. And follow along with me. Vayihi Ra'av. It came to pass that there was a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to King Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Adonai appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham." Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because Adonai blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So the Philistines stopped up all the wells that his father's servants had dug, and in the time of his father Abraham, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. According to Jewish tradition, one way to study Torah is to focus on four levels of meaning belonging to every biblical text. We've spoken about this before. The first level of meaning is called the Peshat, the simplest, most literal level. Next comes the Remez, which is the allegorical meaning. Then the Drash, the meaning derived by the rabbis as they compare one biblical text with another. And finally, the Sod, the secret or mystical meaning found by the Kabbalists. We're going to utilize this method to uncover just a few interpretations, then, of the story of Isaac and these wells. We begin with the Peshat, the simple, literal meaning. For this, let's turn to the French commentator Rashi on verse 18, the next text. Isaac reopened the wells. In other words, those wells which they had dug in the days of his father Abraham and which the Philistines had stopped up, he once again dug. So Rashi always looks for the most straightforward meaning first, the Pshat. According to Rashi, what is it that Isaac does? Someone call it out. What does he do? The literal meaning, yeah? Right. He redigs the wells. And what are the wells of? What do they contain? Water. So the wells of water, quite literally, are wells of water. Nothing mysterious. That's the pshat, the simple, literal meaning. Now we go on to the remez, or the allegorical level, where each element of the tale stands as an allegory for something else. Remez means hint. So each thing hints at a deeper meaning. So a well is not just a well, and interpretations at this level are generally philosophical or theological. So the next selection comes from Rabbi Jacob Zvi Mecklenburg at the Remez level. Since it was Abraham's preoccupation to spread abroad the knowledge of Adonai and show the people that idols were valueless, Abraham thought out a wonderful device to help bring those who were misled under the wings of the divine presence. He called the well by a name that would drive home the lesson of the true existence of the one God. For example, the well of the eternal God. By this, he would arouse in them an awareness of the truth by saying, "Let us go and draw water from the well of the eternal God." The wells were a public necessity, and in this manner, the people were initiated into a knowledge of the true God. So when Abraham dug these wells long ago and named them, what was Abraham endeavoring to accomplish? Spreading the faith. Exactly. In fact, our tradition says that Abraham and Sarah were the first to spread the faith, and they brought many people into the Hebrew, what would become the Jewish community. So, what does digging a well represent at the remez or allegorical level? When you dig the well, what are you opening up for people? Knowledge of God, exactly it. Opening up an awareness to God's presence. All right, now on to the drash, the rabbinic level. One of the interpretive techniques utilized by the rabbis of old was to let scripture interpret Scripture. In other words, to read one biblical passage in light of another. Let's read the next selection from a compendium of Midrash called the Book of Legends. Vayihi, it came to pass in the days when the judges judged that Vayihi, it came to pass there was famine in the land. This is from Ruth. Wherever the word Vayihi occurs, there is woe. But why does the word Vayihi occur twice in this verse? Once to intimate the famine for bread, and again to intimate the famine for Torah. The word is repeated to teach that when a generation is not possessed of Torah, it will find itself possessed of famine. First, why do the rabbis draw our attention to the book of Ruth in helping us understand the beginning of Genesis 26? Look at the first word of both texts. Vayihi, not just Vayihi, but Vayihi what? It came to pass that there was Ra'av, famine. In both texts, Vayihi Ra'av. The rabbis know their Bible, and they know that Ruth and Genesis echo one another. And why was there famine in the land during the time of Isaac then? The wells were stopped up, but what was really stopped up? Faith, right. There was a lack of faith. Knowledge of Torah had been stopped up. And when knowledge of Torah is stopped up, the result is misfortune or famine. So, when Isaac reopens the wells, what is he really doing? He's renewing the faith. He's teaching Torah again. That's a midrashic or a sermonic reading. So now we go on to the last or mystical level of interpretation called sod, which means secret. The foundational Kabbalistic text was the Zohar, attributed to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Elazar said, Isaac acted fittingly, for since he knew mysteries of wisdom, he endeavored and dug a well of water to fortify himself fittingly in faith. Daniel Matt, commenting on since he knew mysteries of wisdom, writes, by digging the well here below, Isaac stimulated the flow above. Now, the Zohar is a complex work. Daniel Matt composed a wonderful translation and commentary which helps us understand it a bit better. According to Matt, what does Isaac do when he opens up the well on earth? He disperses the famine. Well, that's a more literal interpretation. He shows that he has faith in God, but say it louder, Marie. Right. When Isaac opens up the flow of Mayim Chayim, the waters of living Torah on earth, he stimulates God's blessings that come and flow to him from above. Now, I don't know very much about Jewish mysticism, but I do know that Jewish mysticism teaches that everything we do on earth stimulates a reaction from God. When we open our hearts to God, then God responds by entering them. In the symbolism of our parasha, the water is there, and it wants to flow. The wells just need to be unplugged. God is present and wants to be part of our lives. We simply need to be open to begin the relationship. That's an understanding at the sod, or mystical level. And if extended to the tragic circumstances of our own time, we might say that God desperately wants peace. When we are able to address the evils of our day, such as violence in God's name, then God will indeed bless us with peace. May it be soon. So those are four levels of Torah interpretation: the pshat, the remez, the drash, and the sod. And if you take the first letter of each, you have the acronym Pardes, which means garden. And according to the Kabbalists of the 16th century, in the Garden of Torah, there are 600,000 different interpretations of every single verse. 600,000 for every Israelite who was present at Sinai. In other words, there are as many different understandings as there are those of us who seek to learn. I'll be reading from the scroll the verses we read a moment ago in English, Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. You can follow the Hebrew beginning on page 50 of your Bible. You also have the translation on the handout. And for the honor of the Aliyah, it's a great pleasure to call on Adrian Lesser.
Tamod, Ephrat Galit Bat Yoel Yonav Este Techaiva, La Aliyah La Torah. Baruch et Adonai Hamvara, Baruch Adonai Hamvara Le'olam Vaed, Baruch Adonai Hamvara Le'olam Vaed, Baruch et Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamin, V'natan Lanu et Torato, Baruch et Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Amen. Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, vayimsa bashana ahi mea sha'arim, vayivarchechu Adonai, vayigdal ha'ish, vayilech haloch v'gadel ad ki gadol me'od, vayihilo mikne tzon u'mikne vakar v'avudah rabba, vayikanu oto plishtim, v'chol ha'be'erot asher chofru avde aviv bimei Avraham aviv, Sit mum, plishtim, vayimal afar. Vayomer Abimelech el Yitzchak, lech meimanu, ki atzamta mimenu meod. Vayelech misham Yitzchak, vayichan benacha gerar, vayeshev sham. Vayashov Yitzchak, vayachpor et be'erot hamayim asher chofru bimei Avraham aviv. Vayisat mum plishtim achare mot Avraham. Vayikra lahen shemot, kashemot asher kara lahen aviv.
Baruch atadonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu torat emet, v'chaye olam natan betolkeinu, Baruch atadonai, notein ha-torah.
Amen. Adrian, we ask this blessing upon you. Mishaberach avotenu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov imotenu Sarah Rivka Rachel v'Lea hu yivarech et Ephrat Galit bat Yoel Yonav Esther T'chaiva. May God, who blessed our ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, bless you, Adrian. Sha'alta hayom lichvod hamakom ulichvod haTorah. For today you have come to give honor to God and to give honor to Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yivarech Ota, may God bless you, Vet Kol Mishpachta, together with your family. V'yishlach bracha v'hatzlacha b'chom aseh yadecha. And may God bring blessing and success to all the works of your hands, im kol Yisrael achecha, together with our entire people Israel, v'nomar, and let us all say, Amen.